8 a.m. at the Walgreens on Old 83. And Mario Perez, the pastor of the assembly, is heading that up, and he's invited all the churches to join him and his congregation to walk, and they're going to walk from Walgreens, wherever that might be. You all know, don't you? Is it downtown, kind of? And all the way to 1015, which is this way, right? So please join. Good to see Christians together praying from different churches. And then there'll be Tuesday night healing rooms in Mission. And then Thursday night here, there'll be a Bible study and prayer and healing rooms. Starting at 6 p.m. Thursday night. I want to encourage you to see the movie America. Very, very good. I haven't seen it, but I've seen some information on it on TV, and it is very challenging, very important. And then we have a few prayer requests. Bobby and Darlene are having it kind of rough up there. Got different doctors and from one to another, and it's been tough on them. Probably would have been the same down here, I don't know, but anyway, they're up in San Antonio. So pray for Bobby and Darlene. Sally is traveling, probably returning to the valley. Pray for Sally and her travels. Art to be traveling. Is traveling, take one of his grandsons to college to enroll this weekend. And we need to pray for Israel. What a situation. They're about to start a full-fledged war there in Israel. And pray for God to intervene there and bring peace. Bring peace to Jerusalem. While we're talking about Israel, we also talk about our border situation. We need help along this border. McAllen is the center of this exodus of Latins coming from Central America to the U.S. You've seen it on TV. It's a mass exodus of young people, not just babies. You hear that a lot, but a lot of them are just teenagers. And I saw one newscast. They were on top of these boxcars, and I mean just solid young people on top of the boxcars traveling north. Mexico. So that certainly is a prayer need, because it's bringing about a lot of situations here in the States. I mean, we like to help people, but this is getting to be beyond our ability to help. Some say they carry diseases, and they're going to go to school in September, August, whenever. They go into the schools with the diseases that they bring up from there, it could impact the classrooms. And some say that some of these people are criminals, and what are we going to do about that? We got enough crime on our streets as it is. So may the government get the best idea of what to do about the situation so it doesn't get any worse. So we'll pray for that too. And then our dear Vanelli, how do you pronounce her name? Vanelli is at Princeton, and she's just a high schooler, and she's off there on the East Coast in this big university. What an opportunity for her. I don't know if Mother has something to say.
She's happy, excited. She's also had a lot of trials. She's been
Listen. Comfort them, Lord, that they will get some correct medical attention that would help them to resolve their physical situation, Lord, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, you're our healer, Lord. Touch them, Father. And for those that are traveling, Sally and Art, and we'll soon be traveling on Friday. So, Lord, we covet your prayers and presence as we travel, Lord. You're our intercessor, Lord, so we pray, God bless Art and bless Sally and bless Ruth and I as we travel, and keep us safely on the road, cover us with your precious blood, and make us a blessing, each and every one here that we're praying for. In Jesus' name, pray for Israel, Lord God. What a situation there with rockets and bombs dropping all over. Father, we pray, protect your people. Work out this situation. Bring peace to that land. In Jesus' name, I pray. And Lord, we pray for our border. Oh, Lord, resolve this situation that we're in here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So as a amen. So we want to pray for her too. Bless her, Lord. Protect her, Lord. Give her wisdom as she drives. Give her a revelation as to where to go, what to do, and how fast to do it, and everything else that's involved there, Lord. We just pray blessing upon her. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So with the thought of our border situation, we begin to pray for that. It's a situation that we're not personally involved in, but there comes the work of an intercessor. An intercessor prays for someone else, prays for another situation. It's not praying for yourself, but you're praying for others. And so that's what I like to talk about this morning, praying for others. So these young people and children that are coming across our border, they need prayer. And America needs prayer to resolve this situation. And so let's look and see a little bit about an intercessor. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. The Bible says that in Hebrews 7:25, in Hebrews 7:25, if you'd like to turn that passage, it tells about Jesus. 7:25 of Hebrews says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession for us. That means he's seated at the right hand of God right now, as the Bible says in another passage, ever standing there in support of you. He's interceding for you, ever making intercession. And then it says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So Jesus is our best example of someone who intercedes for others. And he's doing it for Christians today. He prays for the Christians. And when he talked to his disciples and John there, he talked about, he prayed a prayer. John 17 is a prayer for his disciples. He didn't pray for the sinners. At least it doesn't say that there. He prayed for his disciples. He interceded for us, just like it says here in this passage, that he interceded for them, those that gave their hearts to God and were saved. He intercedes. He's the high priest for us. The Holy Spirit deals with the sinner in this world. The Holy Spirit is trying to woo men and women back to God, to bring them to Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, who died for our sins, who made us new creatures, he's our intercessor, and that's his primary position there. He's already served as Savior. He already gave his life for our sins. But today, and for all these years, all these centuries, he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. We can go into the Old Testament and find out about the work of the intercessor. And I'd like to read from there too. There's a couple of prophets I always like to read, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. In the book of Jeremiah, it tells of this period of time when Israel had failed God. They had turned to serve other gods. They lived a life of sin. And Jeremiah warned them, you're going to lose. You're going to lose your land. Your cities are going to be destroyed. You're going to be taken away captives. So please, turn back to God. They called him the weeping prophet because he wept for Israel. He was interceding for his people. And when he declared what was going to happen to them, that the wrath of God was going to fall on them, instead of listening to him, they cast him into the pit, into a jail in the ground. And there he was, left in this jail. And then the enemy came and took Israel in captivity. He was weeping and crying for his people, but they didn't respond. He certainly was an intercessor. The trouble is, he not only prayed an intercessor for them, he also, as a prophet, spoke the word of the Lord and told them what was going to happen if they didn't straighten up. And so, consequently, they threw him in prison. But Ezekiel is another one. And I'd like you to read in Ezekiel 22,
30.
In Ezekiel 22:30. And this gives you another picture of the intercessor. So this is a prophetic word that God gave to Ezekiel. 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them and have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So there's a picture of what happens. When we think of America today, the crime and the situation that we are living in, we had a good start. We had men that believed in God and tried to set up a nation that would allow Christianity to flourish. And they made a way that the church could prosper and go forward and be able to preach the gospel and share the gospel as the country grew. But in the last years, things have changed. There's been a pulling away from the things of God, a denial of the scriptures in the schools, and prayer limited to homes and churches, but not in public places. And there's so much change that has happened that shows where we are heading. And so we are in the same boat as Israel when this prophet was declaring what the Lord had told him. The word intercede means to plead or petition on the behalf of someone. To plead. The weeping prophet Jeremiah cried out to God. He pleaded with God to spare Israel. And God would have done it if the people would have responded. God will forgive. God will restore. But they didn't. They didn't respond. So the wrath of God has to come. The wrath of God has to come upon those that know what they should do, but they're not doing it. So the church is going to suffer in these last days if it doesn't give in to the Word of God, to living a life that's honorable before God. The church is going to suffer. And there's plenty of churches that are not preaching the gospel anymore. But the whole nation is going to suffer. Just as all of Israel suffered, they were carried away to a foreign land because God had to justify their actions. They had to pay for what they had done. So it isn't because we serve a mean God. It's because we are asked to follow Him and to live for Him and live righteously. And He's given us a way to do it. But when we turn away from that and begin to do our own thing, begin to serve other gods, and other gods aren't necessarily a statue of a saint or anything like that. It could be the television. It could be our way of life that we're so involved in that it's more important to us than going to church or serving Jesus. That could be our God. So the prophet pleaded for his people. Just like the word says, to plead and petition in behalf of others. It's like stepping between two contrary ideas, two contrasting views, and you're trying to resolve the situation. Just like Israel today. The Palestinians and Israel, two different views, contrary views. And they have sent in leaders of nations to try to resolve that situation. And each time, the same results come about. They don't resolve anything. It continues. So this is what intercessors are to do, to step in the middle between two contrasting views and try to resolve so that we can come back to God and serve God. That's what the intercessors pray for. And we pray for leaders to come and do that, pastors and prophets to come into a situation and bring it about. The intercessor prays so that comes to pass. And so we intercede for others. You know, if you're praying mostly for yourself and your immediate family, you're not doing the work of an intercessor. An intercessor is praying for others, praying for these children that are coming across the border. That's the intercessor's job. Praying for the nations beyond that need to hear the gospel. We intercede for those nations. Praying for the missionaries that are on the other side of the world preaching the gospel in dangerous places. Intercessors pray for others, other problems, other situations, other persons. Yeah, we need to pray for ourselves, but we need to pray more for others. How can we resolve this situation on the border today? Intercede. Intercession is the answer, so that God works out a way for it to be resolved. We hear a lot of politicians talking what they'd like to do and what they should do, what they can do, but it continues without any result. Prayer can change things. And when we pray as intercessors, we're not praying for our own good. We're not heaping on us anything. We're praying for others. We're giving our time and effort to pray for others. And that's why we as Christians need to become active intercessors. We need to be busy interceding for others. There's a couple other definitions here. Prayer for God's will to be done. That's an intercession. Praying for God's will to be done in a situation. To mediate, to intervene for others. Always for others. So Jesus is not praying for him. He doesn't need prayer. He is God. But he's interceding for you and everyone else that is endeavoring to serve God. Jesus is our intercessor. So getting back to Ezekiel here, God sought for a man or a woman. God is seeking for men and women, for Christians, among the population that should make up the hedge, make up a wall to stand in the gap, it says there in Ezekiel. And to stand in the gap for the land, for Israel. So we need to stand in the gap for America. If America is going in the wrong direction, when you read the newspaper and watch the news and hear of all kinds of things, we need to be in that gap on the wall, standing there for our country, America. They talk about a wall of righteousness, that when we stand in the gap, we stand in the wall. The wall was to protect the city. But from the wall, you could see the enemy coming. And maybe there's a gap in the wall. So somebody had to be in that gap. And so the prophet uses that as the example of intercession. We stand in the wall to resist what's coming against the city. So we stand on this border and pray. And we are in a gap here all along this border. They tell us it isn't hardly protected because they're so busy taking care of the children. But we need to be spiritually in place, standing along this border, resisting the powers of darkness that are attacking our nation. And that's our job. We need to continue to pray for our loved ones and ourselves and all everything around us. But the biggest need is the calling of being an intercessor for our land, for our country. And we belong to a group of intercessors that, and you've heard this lady, Jennifer Gray, she's been here before. And we hook up on a telephone connection with her on Monday nights. And there's probably a dozen people involved, from Brownsville to New Mexico, from different places. Some of us are from prayer centers, and some of us are just praying in our home or in our church. And so we start up, and they'll say, well, what's the situation in McAllen about the border crossing there? And so we might bring up something that we heard happen, and so then we'll pray for that. The whole group, one at a time, prays. And then they'll ask about how's it going in New Mexico. And, well, somebody got shot here. And okay, let's pray for that area. So we've been praying for this border. A border, a wall is being erected because we're praying for God to protect our nation and to stop the crimes and the illegal activities that are coming into our land. A couple of years ago, we did some praying along the border by getting in a vehicle and traveling from bridge to bridge. We did that for a few months. And we would pull up near each bridge, not on the bridge, but near, and then we would pray for that crossing, for God to protect our country and God to stop the passing of evil and crime. And we did that for a few months from Brownsville to Mission. And that was the work of an intercessor. You can see how that works. And so there's another passage in this, in Isaiah 59:16. And it's a similar verse to what we've read. Isaiah 59:16. It says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Here it is again, the same situation. There's no man there in place interceding for Israel. This is the prophet Isaiah, and he spoke the right words. He said, there's no intercessors. The importance of having intercessors protecting the land. And we are privileged to live on the border. We have at our disposal this border where someone needs to be praying and protecting our land. It might be safer to live up in Minnesota or someplace, because there is a lot of activity that is negative along this border. But God has us here for a reason. And we need to pick up the responsibility of praying for America, especially with our location right near the border. So God is seeking intercessors. God is looking for a man, a woman, who will cry out to God for the nation. The intercessors are to make up a hedge, a standing in the gap between the enemy and God's people. We are Americans, so we pray for America first. We want to see America resolve its spiritual condition so that once again America can be known as a Christian nation, So we are to pray for America first. We are to pray against the enemy that's trying to come into America and destroy our relationship with God. So we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand, make up a hedge, make up a wall. Standing in the gap, and it says, for the land. Standing in the gap for the land, for America in this case. And another passage in Timothy, it talks about standing, interceding for all men in 1 Timothy 2:11. 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1. Stand in the gap for all men. So we're praying for our land. We're praying for our population. So God is seeking intercessors today. And our biggest burden is America. If America goes the way of all flesh, then the rest of the nations will not be evangelized by America anymore. America carried the load of missionary work for decades. All over the world, Americans were going preaching the gospel as missionaries. Initially, it was Europe, but then America took over and became the most missionary-minded country in the world. But we're losing that position now. There's other nations that are beginning to do more than America as far as missionary work. The Philippines, Korea, South Korea, and a few other places. Latin America has become more missionary-minded. And they're getting in financial position where the churches can continue to do what the Americans are not doing anymore. That's a shame, isn't it? We're losing. They're going to pass us up. Sometimes Americans need a lot of money to go to these foreign countries. Well, some of these third world countries, they'll go on a shoestring, and they'll get a lot done, especially if they already know the culture and they already know the language of their people. So God is raising up intercessors for those from those countries to continue to get this job done. So America needs to get back on its feet and do its part and intercede for the nations. So the intercessors are men and women who intercede for people, for problems, for needs, for burdens, just like our prayer network for the border, our prayer network for the border. God takes notice whether or not intercessors are in their place. Where's the man, God said? Where's the man that should be here in this position, in this gap, where the enemy can come in like a flood? God's man or woman needs to be in that position. How can you do that? By praying, by beginning to recognize the problem, the need, and catch the burden about it, and start praying for it. Start making a list of the prayer needs. Start becoming aware. Listen to the news and start figuring out what can I do to help. Prayer is what you can do. Interceding for that problem, whatever it is. Israel is being attacked right now by bombs and what do you call them, rockets. We need to pray for Israel, because Israel is under attack and they've got enemy all around them. So now's a good time to intercede for Israel. Israel is not serving God. Israel has turned away from God. But God has promised to restore Israel. I don't know when that's going to happen. We don't see too much going on spiritually, but they are God's children. Originally they were, and so we assume that God's going to restore them. So we need to pray for Israel. But we need to pray for America. We need to pray for what we have here. So we can enjoy a safe place when we pray. And I think it's in Timothy, it says, Pray for our leaders so that you will live in peace. So we should pray for our leaders. We complain about our leaders, and they deserve it, I think. But that doesn't get the job done. You listen to the news, you know what's happening. You know what they're doing wrong. But God said, pray for those in authority that you might live in peace. And so that's part of the job that we have as intercessors, to pray for our leaders and to build up a wall of righteousness that we can stand with. Because that's what it said in Ezekiel. Someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness and guard the land. This is another version of that passage I just read. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness. So it takes a dedication to God, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, to be in that position to resist the enemy, to intercede for the nation. So it requires a dedication and a consecration besides the activity of interceding. You know, the Bible talks about the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to clean up our lives, get God to forgive us by confessing and making sure our life is clean. Then we can establish a wall of righteousness, and then we can ask God to stop the action of the enemy, and we'll see results. So the intercessor has to be a dedicated person that has given his life to God, and therefore he can establish this wall of righteousness. He can fill in that gap. And then through righteousness, the wall will be guarded and the land will be protected. So there's various things we could talk about, but it's important that we pray for our nation. Reading an article here about the conditions of the world of America in this idea of intercession, it says, we hold the key to our nation's survival. It's not merely about political agenda or economic system. The soul of our nation needs to be saved. And the conditions in our country, we need to build spiritual buffer zones around our cities, around our nation, along this border, to restrain evil in our government, immorality in our society, crime in our streets, and false religions and occult in our communities. We can do that by praying for our cities, praying for our nations. Begin at home, pray for your home. Begin in your family, pray for them. But then begin to pray for your city. Begin to pray for your community. Begin to pray for your state. I think we're in some ways blessed in Texas, where there seems to be an acknowledgement of God in our state house. There seems to be a means of honoring God in the state of Texas, more so than other places. The governor, not too many years ago, called for prayer, and we all went to, some of us went to Houston, because the governor said, please come and pray for this state. And so many of us went there, and the governor, Perry, was right out there on the stage telling what we needed to do. We need to pray. So he dedicated that day in this big stadium, and we prayed. Governor Perry did that. I don't know if that's going to happen in too many places, too many states in this country. So at least there's something going on in Texas that we need to join and be involved in. And the enemy is attacking. This situation on our border is not of God. We need to pray. We need to intercede. So I'm challenging you
to be like Jesus, who intercedes as our high priest. We need to intercede as priest. And 1 Peter says that we are priest, a royal priesthood, that we are priest also. And so we need to be like Jesus and stand in the gap and pray and intercede for our land. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. We need to restore our heritage. We need to restore what our forefathers had set down as what America was to be. A Frenchman came over back then and he studied, he has a big long name, so I can't remember it. He studied what was going on in America in our early years. And he came to the conclusion, as long as America continues to have a righteous way of life, this democracy will continue. Remember, there was no, there didn't exist any kind of democracy in the world when we started, when our nation started. There was no democracy. It was not heard of. It was a new idea. And when the people came to America, the leaders began to establish this idea. I mean, some wanted George Washington to be the king, but that's not what the founding fathers wanted. They wanted a form of republican government, a democracy. And so this Frenchman said, and France went through a revolution too at that time, but he said there was a difference here, that people were Christian and people lived godly lives. He noticed that. He noticed it wasn't so in France. They chopped heads off when they had their revolution. We had to fight against England, but we didn't kill our own people when we had our revolution. And so this Frenchman said, as long as they continue in this Christian way, democracy will work. And look at today. Democracy is not working as good. Why? Why? Because they aren't living a Christian way. You can't trust people. People aren't, the word doesn't matter. So we need to call America back to their knees. And we can do it as Christians by interceding for our land. And so I challenge you to become an intercessor. Many of you are already intercessors. But let's put more time interceding for others, for our nation, than for ourselves. As important as it is, let's remember our country and be saved. So we thank you, Lord. Sure. Service Center at 6 a.m. And the first hour, we just pray for others. We go around the room at our different places of prayer, like you see here. We're praying for others for the first hour. We're interceding for the first hour. Then at second hour, we mix it with personal as well as other needs. So it is important that we give time to pray and intercede. And we all do it, I'm sure, some. But we need to do more. We need to do more. So if you feel led to come forward, that's a good idea. Our challenge this morning. Your word has touched our hearts. And we feel in some ways guilty for failing to fulfill what you called us to do. Lord, we want to do more. We want to catch the vision, the burden of reaching out to the nations, to our nation first, and to other nations, to our neighbors, to our friends and loved ones. We call upon you, Lord, to fill us with your precious Holy Spirit. Anoint us, Lord, with this burden of intercession. Oh, God, we give us birth pains, Lord, as we labor for the nation of America, as we labor in pain for the nations that are yet unreached. Oh, dear God, anoint your servants here, Lord, and even those that are seated that know that they are intercessors. Anoint them, Lord. Everyone in this room, may they get a touch from heaven to ignite them into the work of the Lord. Oh, God, we need to be passionate in our praying. It doesn't hurt to weep for the needs of the people. It doesn't hurt to feel birth pains for the birth of nations into the kingdom of God. So Lord, we pray, help us not to be reserved, but to just cry out to you with our whole heart, to call upon you in this time of danger and problems, for all those that are suffering, and for the church overseas, the persecuted church. We call out, Lord, for protection of them. Lord, for America, save America. Let not your wrath fall upon this land, Lord. Preserve America. Bring America back to their knees, Lord. Oh, God, we don't look forward to your fury and your wrath. We ask you, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon our land. Almighty God, have thy perfect will. Anoint these in a circle with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, fill them, Lord, with your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. We honor you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Anyone else that wants to pray?
Enlarge our hearts, O Lord, to receive more of your love and to receive more of your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
That we may pour out your heart upon others, Lord.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
That people will come in to pray and that people will know. And there will not be a hesitation, but there will be just that unity, unity of
amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
Without any embarrassment.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
Praise God. May Thursday be a time of prayer, of intercessory prayer. Thursday. In Jesus' name. Tuesday morning, yes. Amen. God bless you.